Jason Big Joe live SEC Media Days Radio Row, all presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also, two other great locations, Highway 100 in Bellevue and on the west side on Charlotte Pike. And, Joe, we're excited about this. You know, growing up in Nashville and watching Vandy football and Tennessee football, there was always this guy that played for the Florida Gators that gave him trouble. Danny Warfel has been nice enough to join us now. Danny, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I hope this goes peaceful. Yeah. You guys never gave us any trouble, so maybe we can be friends.
Vols fans hearing this sound going like, what are we doing?
Oh, but, no, sorry.
No, it's all good. You're here this week, and I know you got a lot of great stuff that you're a part of.
Yeah, thanks. So I'm here specifically kind of talking about the All-State Warfel Trophy and the All-State AFC A Good Works team. You know, my life's goal is really to inspire service and unity in the world. I've been blessed with a great platform from football. And so we've had this trophy that was named after me. That's for community service. It's not for touchdowns or yards rushing. And, you know, in a day and age where so many people are about me and how much money can I get? And if I'm not happy here, I'll transfer, you know. And in a day and age where you usually don't get a story unless you're the best player on the best team or you do something wrong, we're trying to tell the stories of the guys that are great teammates, that are great citizens, and great in their community. And last year, we partnered with Allstate and the AFCA Good Works team. And so basically, you've got sort of like an all-American team of community service. And then you've got like the Heisman Trophy of community service with the Allstate Warfel Trophy. And we've got record-breaking numbers of nominees this year, and we're looking forward to telling their stories all year.
That is fantastic. Obviously, I would assume you're keeping up with your Gators pretty good these days. They're one of those teams that I think maybe people slept on a little bit, that got better as the year went on. Going into this year, how do you view the Florida Gators?
Well, I think there's a lot of pieces that have come together that make them a little scary for some folks. You know, we do have an incredibly tough schedule. So it's going to be hard to get through that. But, you know, it starts with we've got a really unique trigger man in DJ Lagway, and just his ability to make downfield throws, whether his feet are planted or not, or whether there's pressure or not. He just seems to want that moment and make those throws. And so I think to build around him, we've got a great receiving core, good running back room, great offensive line. So I think the offense is poised to have a really good year. And if our defense can kind of play this year like they finished last year, Florida could be a tough team.
We're talking to 1996 Heisman Trophy winner Danny Warfel. Real quick, back to the Good Works team. You talk about record number of nominees. That has gotten big, right? I mean, did you think it would get like it is now with so many people being part of it? Because it's become really a prestigious honor for a lot of these young men.
Well, that's the goal, is you want to honor the right things in life. And then as young people, you aspire for things with value and honor and service. And so we're really pleased with that. Yeah, we have 118 nominees.
Wow.
In Division I for this award. And then when you look at the All-State overall program, there's 197 between all divisions. And so you just got and you can only have one per school. So this is a lot of schools participating because they realize it's great exposure for them.
Right.
And it's good for the world, I think.
Absolutely it is. Coming out of Fort Walton Beach, right? I mean, you played for your home school, I mean, your home state at Florida. You were there 93-96. The success you had there, I mean, you had a lot of great teammates. But, I mean, do you look back like, God, that was really cool. That was all, these moments were really cool for me.
I mean, sometimes I try to pinch myself to see if I'm dreaming.
Right.
You know, when you look at my career, we didn't lose to any SEC team except Auburn. So it was undefeated against Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, everyone. Wow. We lost to Auburn twice, and then we lost a couple to FSU. And then, you know, to kind of have the ending to my career, we're number one, everything's going well, we lose to Florida State. And back then, it wasn't like, well, we'll still get into the playoffs. It was like, you're done. You're out. We like dropped to number five in that day and age. But then Nebraska lost the next week to Texas, which was weird. We played Alabama, who then was number one, and we beat them. And then you had Arizona State, who's undefeated. They lose to Ohio State in their bowl game. And then the only undefeated team left was Florida State, and we got a rematch with them for the national title. I mean, if it was a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
Right. The springboard, but we talk a lot, Chase and I, about does the SEC championship game mean anything anymore? Because we all talk about the playoffs. In 96, that championship game meant the world to you guys, didn't it? Because you don't beat Alabama, you don't get to the national championship.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, that was that for our team to rally back, you know, I mean, we really felt like our national title hopes were gone. But we also recognized the opportunity to win an SEC and play against Alabama. And it was really just more of a character. Let's go rally and let's win this. And then things started unfolding. It was like, oh my, we might have a shot.
Yeah. And then there you go. Win the national championship. What a special season. Yeah. 96 was, you get drafted into the NFL, but your college career was so good, Danny. I mean, it was just with the Heisman Trophy and, you know, seeing you and talking to you throughout the years, reading about you. It wasn't about the Heisman Trophy, was it? It was about winning football games with your brothers.
Yeah, I mean, what you remember, I mean, just a minute ago, I was seeing Chris Doering across the hall, and I did an interview with him in the morning. I mean, when I go to Gainesville now, I still stay at his house. You know, just my friends, the relationships, the memories. You know, I get to see Coach Spurrier and Jerry, his wife, all the time now at these different events, and it's an amazing, amazing time. And, you know, like... you know, the Heisman Trophy is weird because, like, that wasn't ever, like, the goal. And, you know, when we won the national title, you're crying with 100 of your teammates, and it's this amazing thing. But, you know, Jerry, she said, you know, this thing will mean more and more as your life goes by. And I think just the doors that it opens, the way that it kind of keeps you relevant for different things, and that we've been able to translate towards the foundation and the ministry has just been amazing.
Danny Werfel is with us, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback for the Florida Gators. Was the, when you were there, like, was the hate with UT, the rivalry, was that tangible as it appears to be even now?
I mean, it was clearly like the big, big game for us, especially so earlier in the season. Usually was our third game, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And, you know, whoever won that game was probably going to win the East. And if you didn't win that game, you were out of it. I think there was a year or two where that was Tennessee's only loss, and then they didn't get another crack at anything. So, like, it was big, you know. And then I remember my senior year, like, it was – they added fans, seats to the stadium, and they broke the record for the most attended game ever. And it was, you know, me and against Peyton, and it was yeah. You know, whoever won it was going to win the Heisman and the national championship. And, I mean, it was crazy. And how we were able to go on that run those years against Tennessee is pretty remarkable. Probably a little bit lucky, and just thankful for it.
The 96 game, was that when y'all got out to like a 35-0 lead, like in the first quarter? I mean, something crazy.
Yeah, we threw four touchdowns pretty quick.
Right.
We had 28-0. But then, you know, that kid wouldn't quit, that Peyton guy, and he brought him almost all the way back. It turned out to be quite a game.
One play, real quick, I'm sorry, Chase, that I want to bring up is the 93 Kentucky game.
Yeah.
The pass to Chris.
Yeah.
Was that fourth down?
It wasn't fourth down.
But no time, basically.
8 seconds left on the clock. Yeah, we, you know, it was an interesting game. I was the backup. Terry Dean was our starter, and he threw four interceptions.
Yeah.
So I went in and I tried to catch him. I threw three interceptions, and we're in this last drive. And Spurrier, the way he tells it, he's looking around trying to think, like, who am I going to put in? And I was standing there saying, "Let's do this." So we get the ball down the field, and then he called four verticals and wanted me to throw it to Jack Jackson on the sideline. And I had planned to do that, but as I was eyeing the safety, it was a cover two, which was a pretty interesting coverage to play in that scenario. I think they'd love to change it and maybe have cover three or four or five guys deep. But he, you know, he guessed that was happening, so he went that way. So I just reacted, and I pumped that way and threw it down the middle, and Chris caught that for a touchdown, and it was an iconic moment for him, for me, for us, and for the Gators.
Now, what did Coach say when he came to the sideline, even though it works, but it wasn't what he wanted
like,
you
yeah,
to do?
Oh, he was like, yeah, no, that's what I wanted to do. he did what I coached him to do.
We all saw the lively Steve Spurrier in press conferences, and you can't spell citrus without UT and all those things. Was that pretty much what he was, like, all the time?
He was funny. Like, he really was. You know, he kind of had a philosophy where early in the week, you're really relaxed, and there's a lot of joking and funny things that happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, by Thursday, you're getting serious, and then by Friday and Saturday, like, his verbiage was that there's no laughing and giggling. So, like, you know, it was funny. If you got on the offensive bus to ride to a game, you could hear a pin drop. But I hear if you're on the defensive bus, they had music playing. It was loud. They didn't care. So he would get real serious. But I mean, he was intense. He was tough. Often perfectionistic. So you often felt like you just couldn't do anything right. But he was just driving you to be the best you could be. He had a vision for how every moment of every play should go. And you want to be as close to that as possible.
Oh, that's great. Danny, we think the world of you. Thanks for doing this, man. This is really cool.
Appreciate it, you guys. Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you, Danny. More coming from SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. Radio Row here in Atlanta, or Digital Drive. I got to get used to that. Here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Commissioner hanging out in front of us, doing different interviews. We enjoyed having him on
earlier. It's kind of like, all right. Greg, we talked to you. Now, go on. Gosh.
He's just infatuated by you.
Yeah, right? He's like, I've been a lot of interviews in Radio Row. Nobody has ever asked me stupid questions like that guy has.
Well, he did compliment my question. So
love your question.
Yeah, that was good. That made me feel good.
Interrupt his interview and say, hey, you remember that question I asked you?
If you could send that to Jared, I would appreciate that.
He did. He loved it, man.
And a few other people that I won't say on
here. All right.
Tell Greg to treat his interviews like a hot stove.
Yeah, there you go. Great advice from Coach Majors, or Coach Majors, Coach Cutcliffe.
From Skeeter Bailey.
From Skeeter Bailey, yeah.
Do you know who Skeeter Bailey is?
No.
Neither did I. Now we had to look him up. But I love that.
Yeah, me too. Our SEC Media Days coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. And thank you to them for being on board with us. We've covered a lot of ground, Danny Werfel, and we got even more that will be on the way tomorrow, and then we'll head to Nashville.
We'll head back home, and, the access was great. It was a lot of good people to talk to and a lot of good information, about the Vols and Vandy and other teams that go on. But it was interesting to see how people look at Vandy in Tennessee. They're not in the state of Tennessee and what they think about them. And, all the talk down here, again, team-wise, Texas, Georgia, Georgia, Texas, Texas, Georgia. We get all that. But the more we look at this out, I filled out my all-SEC preseason. And at the very end of that, you got to predict who you think is going to win the SEC.
Who'd you predict?
Alabama.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, after talking to a lot of people in the know down here, looking up things with Kalen DeBoer and his experience about unproven quarterbacks, the fact that Alabama did not get a quarterback out of the portal, the fact that they kept what they have there, there's something working. And Chase, they're loaded. I mean, that defense is loaded. And so it might be like a redemption tour for Alabama.
So the team that is down on the floor right now and their coach just wrapped up, what is Oklahoma?
It's a great question.
I mean, Texas came in and was like, yo, we're here. Hook 'em. Oklahoma came in and, they got the big win over Alabama.
Big win.
But in ruin their playoff chances. But for so long they were one of the main teams in the Big 12. Now they kind of come into the middle of the SEC.
I think Lincoln Riley took a lot of their soul with him, the USC, when he left. He built them up so good. Because you had back to back Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, you had Baker Mayfield and the young man, I'm skipping his name, in Arizona. What's his name? The quarterback, little short guy.
Who?
Arizona quarterback, what's his name? He won the Heisman Trophy in 18. He's quarterback of the Cardinals. My brain is mush.
Oh, Kyler Murray.
Thank you, Kyler Murray. So you have those things.
We said Arizona quarterback. I'm like thinking University of Arizona.
So when Lincoln Riley goes to USC and takes guys with him, it's like, all right, what's happening here? What's going on? And so it takes a while to get back up. I mean, it's very competitive. And so that's it. Excellent question about what is Oklahoma. I don't think anybody knows, not even Oklahoma yet.
I mean, that's going to be the, kind of figuring that out with a lot of these teams. And that's what you get when you're a team like Oklahoma, that you go from being one of the big dogs in the Big 12 and you join the big pond that is the SEC.
Right.
And you get kind of caught in the shuffle.
Yeah, you do. And, look at their schedule this year. Michigan comes to Oklahoma, then, Auburn comes there, then you got to play Texas again in the Red River Shootout, and then go on, and then I think they've got to come to Neyland this year, too. I mean, so this, this is tough. I mean, this is what you signed up for, but it's a tough schedule that they've got to do and get ready for here in 2025. When do they come? They come to Knoxville on, Texas on October 11th, and South Carolina. They go to South Carolina. Ole Miss comes to Norman. Tennessee, they go to Tennessee. Go to Alabama. I mean, Missouri, they might win. LSU to finish the season out. This might be a 4-8 team, man. It's crazy how tough the schedule is going to be for them.
But, I mean, can't you basically say, insert team, it's crazy how difficult the schedule is going to be for them.
Right? All through. But I think you look at Tennessee's schedule. I mean, I don't think it's that – it's difficult, but I don't think it's that difficult where you're like, oh, my God. You get Mississippi State and you got Arkansas in that schedule. You get Oklahoma who's coming to Neyland. That's three games inside there. That's why the game, you know, with – Georgia is so big, and the game at Alabama is so crucial to what you want to do. And, of course, you still play Kentucky, but there's a lot of things going on where you don't really have to – I mean, you've got to win games, but it's not like, oh, I'm dreading this, I'm dreading that. After the day, you still got to go out and win those games.
Speaking of schedules, we haven't passed this along yet, but the Nashville Predators, the NHL, have released next year's schedule a little later than it usually is.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't really know why they did that. But it's out. And so a couple of highlights as I pull it up here. You know, we know the Sweden trip is going to happen. The Preds will open the season at home against Columbus. So they'll have two games at home to start the season. October 9th against Columbus, October 11th at Utah. New Year's Eve, they'll be in Vegas. So I have a feeling a lot of Preds fans might be making the trek out to Las Vegas for that. Vegas comes here on March 21st. So yeah, that's a couple of highlights there. But you can check it out.
I always look to see like when the original six come to town, like the Rangers.
Let's see. The first original six team that will come here will be the Rangers on December 21st.
You found that quickly. Good job.
And I think that's right. And then Chicago on January 10th. Chicago again on February 26th. Detroit on March 6th. Boston on March 5th. Montreal on March 28th. And that's that. They got a couple of long road trips. Like the they have a 7-game stretch. Now the Christmas break's in the middle of it, but they have a 7-game stretch where they're away from Bridgestone Arena. The traditional, what we refer to as the CMA trip, is when they go to Sweden. So November 14th will be the Predators' home game in Sweden, and then against Pittsburgh for their home game on Sunday, November 16th. But again, those are in Sweden.
Yep, and man, yeah, you blink, it'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, very, very cool. So the NHL schedule and the Pred schedule is out. You can check that out at our website and also NashvillePredators.com. Coming up next, we told you we were going to do this earlier. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to sit down with three Tennessee players as they came through a digital drive. You will hear all three of those conversations coming up next. We're live today at SEC Media Days on Radio Row, Digital Drive, and all of our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South and Cool Springs. Also, Highway 100 in Bellevue on the west side on Charlotte Pike. I've spent a lot of Saturday nights sitting at Nashville at Brewhouse West
crying?
On Charlotte Pike. Not crying, but watching college football. So,
and
sometimes crying because a bet didn't hit or something like that.
If you ever disappear, I'm going to Brewhouse to find you. That's where you're going to be.
That's probably a good place to start.
Yep.
You'll see Phil sitting there and just ask where I'm at. Like, oh, he missed one leg of a parlay, so he's crying out back. So there you go. Check out Brewhouse, all three of those locations. Tennessee players coming up next, 102.5 The Game. Jason Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. SEC Media Days coverage rolling right along here in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame. And all of our coverage is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Appreciate them for being on board with us. Yesterday, all the Tennessee players and obviously Coach Heupel, who you heard earlier, came through. They sat down with us. We enjoyed that conversation with them, and so we want to bring that to you now. We start things off with Tennessee tight end Miles Kitzelman. Jason Big Joe, SEC Media Days coverage rolling right along here on Radio Row, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and we're excited to have Miles Kitzelman, the tight end for the Tennessee Volunteers, representing the Vol Nation. I just asked you before we went on the air if it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, but it seems like you're having a good time.
No, I love it. I love all the questions. I love being able to tell people how good we've been doing and how excited we are for the season.
I know that you didn't start your career at Tennessee, but you've been here the last couple of years. What is it about Coach Heupel, this offense, that you love so much?
Yeah, I think everything you guys see on social media is real. You know, Coach Heupel never changes who he is, you know, behind closed doors. He's genuine. He'll coach you. He'll coach you hard when you need it, and he'll praise you when you've been doing good. And I think everybody needs that. And so I just love how this entire coaching staff is on the same page, and how they motivate it and how they push each other. But also when you're going through stuff like outside of football, how they're there for you.
Miles, how does the tight end position work in this up-tempo offense? I feel like it's a very important part.
Yeah, I think just making things right. You know, whenever you go that fast, not every call is going to be right. Not every ID on defense is going to be right. And we got to be the guys that come in and make things right. And I love that, you know, going out on the perimeter, winning one-on-one on a safety, or coming in on the box and blocking somebody who outweighs you by 50 pounds. I mean, you literally have to be able to do it all. And I just love how they put us in positions to go be successful.
How excited are you to witness what Coach Heupel calls a open competition for the starting quarterback with these three guys?
I love it. I mean, I think that's what sports is all about. Whenever you have no competition, guys get comfortable, yeah. Guys relax. And we do not have that right now. We have the opposite of that right now. And I love that. You know, that's what sports is all about. And I think you can lose some of that in college football whenever you have big name guys. And, you know, we have a lot of guys that are just hungry right now and they want to be out on the field and they're doing anything possible to get out there.
Miles Kitzelman's joining us on the Chasing Big Joe show. How does it feel that the two best tight ends in college football reside in the state of Tennessee? You and Eli Stowers over at Vanderbilt, but specifically the tight end role. I mean, it's become the position. I'm not saying in football and sports, Kelsey and all those guys, how much fun is it playing tight end?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I would say the two best tight ends in the nation are me and Ethan Davis.
That's
awesome. You know, you have O-linemen who get to pancake people and get to sit people down on a bull rush, and then you have wide receivers who get to go catch touchdowns and get to go for 70-yard game breakers. But then you have tight ends who get to do both. You know, you get to go block somebody who outweighs you by 300 pounds, but your technique's awesome, so you get to plant them in the ground. Or you have a safety who is much faster than you, but you have good technique, so you get open and you get to go catch touchdowns, and it's awesome. You know, being able to do both of those things is awesome.
Tell me what it's like kneeling on a Saturday night, not afternoon, not morning, but night, when you run out there, because I've told Chase this, he's been there. I mean, I'm not sure there's any place like that in
no,
the
there's
country,
not.
Man.
No, there's not. I've played at a lot of places and there's no place like kneeling, and I'm not being biased when I say that. I do like to be in the back of the crowd when we go through the tee, you know, because I know if I'm out front, I got to sprint through it. I know I got 120 guys behind me that's going to run me over. So I like being in the back, you know, just coming out, being able to just look up and see where God has put me here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and that I get to experience that. And yeah, I like being in the back, so I can kind of soak it up.
That's good.
What was, obviously, you experienced it on the other side when you were at Alabama. What was it like the first time that you were wearing the orange and got to see it from that angle?
Yeah, I was just glad that I was on the right side of the time. Yeah, no, I going against the Neyland Stadium, you know, on the other side was not fun, obviously. And, you know, being on the right side of it now, it's awesome, and it's a huge advantage that we have.
You, Coach Heupel could bring any number of players down. He brought you down. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, it was preseason, you know, back in January. I told my dad, I was like, that's one of my preseason goals, because I know you only bring three people. And, you know, I know that the coaches get to pick that. And I want to be, in the coach's eyes, you know, one of those guys on the team that they value and they see that they can bring me down here. And only being here for 1 year, it just shows how much they value me. And I love that. You know, that just breeds confidence in me. And I can use that this year for sure.
A lot of big games in the schedule, none bigger in the first game, right?
That's right.
Syracuse. Yeah, you looking forward to that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Looking forward to fall camp. Looking forward to tomorrow's OTAs. Just super excited to get the pads back on.
Love it.
You're a month and a half away. That's what's crazy. You'll be back here in Atlanta at a stadium right down the road here to kick off against Syracuse. That's what's mind-boggling to me is that it's that close.
Yeah. No, I mean, the offseason flies by. Yeah, no, but we're super excited about it.
Well, very cool. We are too. Miles, thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll see you in about 6 weeks.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
And now we move to the defensive line with Bryson Eason. SEC Media Days rolling right along, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs here on Radio Row. Chasing Big Joe with you and talking more Vols because you can't get enough of the Vols. Bryson Eason is with us. Are you enjoying this? Is it overwhelming or is it a lot of fun?
I think it's a lot of fun, man. Getting the opportunity just to talk to a lot of people, answer a lot of questions, and you know what I'm saying, get to show the world more of who I am. I feel like the hard part of it, which was like flying. Yeah, so this is easy, man. I could talk all day.
You're 6 weeks away from being back in Atlanta to play Syracuse in the Aflac kickoff game. I mean, does it feel like it's that close? You haven't even started camp yet.
Man, I have a guy similar to my age that goes to Tennessee with me, my boy Dom, and we talk about it every day, just how closer and closer it gets to the season and closer it gets to the end for our time here at Tennessee. So we're just trying to, man, utilize it to the best of our abilities and take advantage of every opportunity that we do get.
All right, Bryson Eason is with us on the Chasing Big Joe Show. Look, I love college football for one of the reasons is this. Mm-hmm. You're gigantic. You get to wear number 20, right? How's that cool? Where'd number 20 come from?
I had got the number 20. So originally, my freshman year of high school, coach was passing out numbers. He had me number 56, and I was devastated. And one of my lifelong best friends had 25, and another dude had 20, and he ended up getting 20. And it was just like a whole bunch of switching.
Right.
And I ended up with number 20, and I thought it was such a cool number, you know. Can't go wrong with it, and I was blessed to get it, you know, here at the next level in college. So I just been sticking with it, man, and I'm the class of 2020. You know, whatever resemblance I try to make up with it really don't matter, but I just really like it, and it's a cool number.
How much fun are you having? I mean, it's your senior year, a lot of hype around you guys. How much fun is this?
Man, it's nothing I could have ever even imagined. You know what I'm saying? Just the hype, just what we go through on a daily basis, and getting to do it with some of the guys that I built my bonds with that I know for the rest of my life is just a blessing, you know what I'm saying? And I couldn't be more thankful for this opportunity, like, overall.
Yeah, what's been your favorite moment? Was it the 22 game beating Bama?
It's so cliche, but yeah, man.
That's you, right.
you only get to do stuff like that. I mean, we did it again, but it's nothing like the first time,
right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was just an amazing feeling. Then beating the team that you see beat on people year from year growing up, winning all the time with Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, all of them, and just watching it year by year, and you being able to beat them was, man, I couldn't ask for nothing better, you know. And one Bryce Young on that team.
He was.
Andrew McGee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even sharing the field with some of the most electric players in the league now, and just think about, man, I beat them. I can tell my kids get to, like, it's just gonna be passed on, and I'm gonna remember that for the rest of my life.
Bryson Eason is here with us from the Tennessee Vols. Coach Heupel said there's going to be an open competition for quarterback. As a defensive guy, that's got to be fun because you know you're gonna have to test those guys.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, man, whatever happens, but that's, you know, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm just eager to get out to whoever. And you know what I'm saying? I feel like the defense is ready to take on a huge role for the team and step up in ways we haven't before, and we prepared to do so, and we've been working towards that.
When I played, we had a jumbo package on the goal line. We got our big defensive lineman there to run the ball. Would you like that one opportunity?
I would love that one.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't like the
Well, coach is about to come over here, so we'll put in a good word
bounce
for you.
Me, yes, sir. Bounce for me. Bounce for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Bryson Eason is here with us. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy this. Enjoy the moment. And then 6 weeks, man, it's
on. Yes, sir.
Looking
I appreciate y'all.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. We close things out. You probably heard this on Stillman & Company, but if you missed it, a local boy from Smyrna, Arian Carter, joined us on the show. We say hello to Arian Carter, linebacker for the Vols, and we were just kind of sitting here chit-chatting for a few minutes. How exciting is it to be here on Radio Row representing your team?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic just to be able to go out here and represent the culture of Tennessee and just my brand and the brand as a whole. It's a blessing just to be here.
You said that you were asked earlier about Joey Aguilar coming in, and there's going to be an open competition for the quarterback, but you pledged your support for him as a new guy coming in, transferring in. Why was it important for you to do that?
Yeah, I feel like it's important for any new guy coming into our system to get them acclimated and feel as comfortable as possible just to be out here, just to have the chemistry, just to build that chemistry over the summer in which we've done, and just be able to have guys corralling around just that quarterback group and just the offense and defense as a whole to be able to make sure guys are prepared and ready for when the stage is set.
We're talking to Arian Carter, linebacker, University of Tennessee. Smyrna man, Smyrna built, Smyrna made. I love it, Arian. Yes, I told you earlier, we love watching you from a Friday night to what you do on a Saturday. All right, so we talked to people down here this week, like, well, that defense of Tennessee is going to have to carry them with this, you know, new quarterback coming in and a lot of pressure on defense. Look, man, you like pressure, don't you? I mean, let the game come to you, right?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I put the pressure on myself. You know, pressure is a privilege at the end of the day, and I feel like we don't shy away from it. You know, we stare it head on and meet it head on. I feel like, you know, a lot of expectations, a lot of she say, he say, you know, yeah. But I feel like I believe in the group that we have in that building, and I feel like I believe in the coach that we got to put us in the best position to go win, and I feel like we're going to be prepared for when the time is right to go out there and achieve it.
You know, some friends of mine said, when Tennessee players come through, ask him about the offseason and Nico, and I said, I'm not going to. That's in the past, man. These guys aren't focused on the past. You guys are focused on one thing, and that's Syracuse here in Atlanta in about 6 weeks.
Yep, exactly. Correct? Yes, sir. You know, just taking it day by day. We always talk about, you know, we want to be prepared. We want to make sure everybody is mentally and physically ready for the season to be able to go into fall camp and have a great camp to leave off, kick off this 2026 season.
You know, I know Chase asked you about being here and doing everything. Coach Heupel could have brought a lot of guys down here. He brought three, and one of them is you. What does that mean?
It means everything. It just shows the trust that he has in me, just the standard that's been set, and the standard that I plan to uphold while I'm here, just representing, you know, my school, my university, and my program. It's just a blessing, you know, just to be here, and it just speaks volumes of the respect that he has for me and the respect I have for him as a coach and a man.
Vols linebacker Arian Carter with us here on Radio Row at SEC Media Days. He mentioned 6 weeks back here in Atlanta for the kickoff game. How special is that to play a team like Syracuse, but also to kind of have that national stage on you with the big kickoff game?
Yeah, we always talk about games like this with the big stage is set and just being prepared and just being ready for when your moment comes. You know, you don't get chances and opportunities like this only come in a lifetime, you know, and you got to make sure that when your number's called, you're ready. And I feel like us as a team and us as a whole, playing all three phases of complimentary football, we're going to be prepared when that time has come.
You were prepared leaving Smyrna High School. You played for one of my favorite coaches, my favorite people, Coach Matt Williams down at Smyrna. How important is he to you?
Man, he's such a great coach, such a great man. Another man who has great morals, a man that's selfless, a man of family, who loves his family, who loves his coaches, who loves his players. He's just an overall player type of coach, and you know, having a man like that in your corner I was blessed to have him for my 4 years of high school, and just being able to be developed under him and learn so many gems and takes away from him, you know, it's something I'll carry forever. I appreciate him.
We talked to Miles Kittlesman a little earlier about what's it like running out on the tee. He says he likes to run last because he don't want to go, because you got to sprint when you go first, right?
Oh, yeah, you first, you better get up out of there. Everybody else, it's like a stampede. Yeah,
where do you like to be in that situation running out of the tunnel?
You know, I like to come out in the front, obviously. Me, I'm hype. I'm ready to go. Yeah. I'm antsy. I'm ready to go hit somebody with a different color jersey on. So me, I'm full sprint, full tilt out that tunnel, ready to go. Go do my Lord's Prayer and then go out there and put that helmet on and go play football.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays as we roll right along SEC Media Days presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, live in Atlanta. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday live SEC Media Days, and our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Appreciate them for being on board with us. If you missed some of the stuff, and even some stuff that we haven't aired yet, 6 o'clock tonight, which is usually Chasing Checkers, there will be some racing. Austin Dillon is going to join the show, but also we'll replay the conversation we had with Commissioner Greg Sankey and much more from SEC Media Day. So kind of mixing a little bit of college football and racing, which is never a bad thing. For sure. But we've obviously had a lot of fun the last 3 days. One more day to go tomorrow. And right now, I guess it's still the Sooners that are kind of featured. And then is that it, or is there one more team?
I think that might be it.
That is it today. Tomorrow will be Missouri, Kentucky, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. Wrapping things up. So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Getting it done.
Are you surprised? I'm kind of surprised I didn't bring Marcel Reed.
I'm very surprised they didn't bring him.
Yeah.
Very surprised.
Been cool to catch up with
him. He's actually done more in a game than Arch Manning has.
That's true. Yes. You're not going to let that go.
I'm not going to let that. And you'll see tomorrow when it comes out, or Friday, the all-SEC, preseason all-SEC team.
Okay. Well, we look forward to that.
I bet you
do. With that, it's time for What Day Is It? And everybody's favorite, celebrity birthdays. It is presented by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Go to JarrettFire.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right, gentlemen, first on the list, we have Guinea Pig Appreciation Day. All the people of Ecuador love guinea pigs. National Atomic Veterans Day. I don't know if y'all
know
this.
That?
Well, they eat them. That's their delicacy.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, National Atomic Veterans Day is today. National Cherry Day, you could pair that with the guinea pigs. National Corn Fritters Day. Ooh, delicious. Corn fritters. Love them. National Desk Fist Day. So it's like breakfast on your desk. Just eat breakfast on your desk. Oh, that's so stupid. Why are they saying that? All right. National Fresh Spinach Day. Get a bag of that. National Hot Dog Day. I don't know about that. National Personal Chef Day is today.
I need one of those.
Rural Transit Day. So if you get a nice big old bus, go through Iowa.
Big old rickshaw.
Yeah, the Madden Mobile. Take Your Poet to Work Day. It looks like Chase did that with Joe. World Snake Day is to wrap it up. So, you know, if you have a pet snake, take care of it.
Watch your snakes. All right, is that it, Dr. Crane?
That's it. If the snake's longer, that's it.
You know, I'm really proud of my restraint on some of these.
I am. Same here as well. Dr. Crane, Chase, I want to thank you. I'm actually going to be serious for a second for all your help while we're down here. So
yes,
thank you.
You've done a great job.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
We could not do this without you. We're not even
Parker,
close.
Too. I know Parker's been there, and David Jane, so yep. Ian.
Sure. Yeah.
As I've Connor. Said, and you too, Chase. Chase has this amazing contraption of wires and things set up that – I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. If Chase somehow, and I don't want him to, dies, I call 911, I call his mom, and I just go home. I can't break this stuff down. I can't do anything with it.
All right.
Time for celebrity birthdays. You know, you got to get these within 2 years on either side. Our first birthday, my goodness, she became our doll from one scene in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the great actress Phoebe Cates. How old is Phoebe Cates?
68.
72.
Both wrong. Will Ferrell. How old is funny man Will Ferrell?
53?
61.
58. The actor Corey Feldman.
I'm trying to think what all he was in.
The Goonies?
Yeah. 48.
49.
Corey Feldman, my friends, 54. That's off to another good start again.
Thank you.
Who is this girl? Good Lord. Don't know her. Let's go down the list here. Drummer Stuart Copeland of The Police.
76.
80.
73. One of Chase's idols, dancer Michael Flatley, Lord of the Dance.
55.
60.
67. Yeah, you're doing great.
Yep.
Richard Pryor's daughter, Rain Pryor. She was on the TV show Head of the Class.
39.
37.
56. Singer Ryan McCombs. 43.
49.
51. Dr. Crane is on the board. Go. Well done. All right, let's go to the sports side of things right now. The great tennis player, Margaret Court Smith. How old is she?
Margaret Court Smith. 68.
59.
83. One of the greatest tackles in NFL history, Ron Yeary, played at USC and for the Minnesota Vikings. How old's Ron Yeary?
56.
63.
79. Dr. Crane's still up 1-0. Oh, my goodness. Former Titans kicker. He goes about 4'4". Gary Anderson. How old is Gary Anderson today? Talk about a statue at Nissan Stadium. That should make one for him.
63.
61.
66. Wow. Claude Lemieux.
Hockey player. 59.
47.
60. Chaser ties it up at one. Former NFL kicker Chip Lowmiller.
61.
71.
59. Chase up 2-1. We got three left, girls. Barry Sanders.
Oh, wow.
Carry the one.
Denominator. 53.
58.
57. Dr. Crane ties it at two. We got two left. New York Jets head coach, former Texas A&M defensive back, Aaron Glenn.
55.
44.
53. Our last birthday. Chaser is up 3-2. How old? Former Dallas Cowboys head coach, Jimmy Johnson. For the win, either one of you two.
83.
82.
Oh, at the buzzer. 82 years old. Dr. Crane, my goodness.
Dang it.
As I always say, how about that?
How about them birthdays?
Congratulations.
Good job, Dr. Crane.
That is going to do it for us. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt in for Jared today coming up next.
Love it. As we leave our show, even though we were down in Atlanta, our thoughts and hearts are about our guys back in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. If you're going through anything, we say all the time, please talk to somebody. Please talk to somebody on your cell phone. You could call or text 988. Somebody's always there for you. We talk about journeys and destinations, and sometimes you go through a bad spot. Let me tell you, every storm runs out of rain, and when it does, we're here for you throughout the entire thing. Just know that we love you. Our world's a better place because you are here. And remember this, more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Stillman and Company with Jake and Connor coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.